Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you believe what is taught and accepted as fact by many scientists and in most public schools, you as a human are only an accidental development that came about after millions and millions of years of evolution. Believing this evolutionary lie not only rejects what is taught in Holy Scripture about a creator and his creation, but it also leads to crises of identity and purpose, to the devaluing of human life in the womb, when there are deformities and sicknesses, and at life's end. It also leads to thinking that everything happens by chance, and finally, to believing that this life is all there is. The picture of creation and of life that we receive from God at the calling of the prophet Jeremiah tells a dramatically different story than the story that this world tells. And it does it in just a few sentences. In words that you're already familiar with, from perhaps my favorite banner in our whole church building, Jeremiah says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying to me, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations.'" He is no product of evolution, but formed by God's own hand. He is not what he is by the luck of the draw or by chance, but he is known and consecrated by God with purpose for this life. And not for this life only, but he specifically is called to speak about something better that is yet to come for those who believe and trust in God's promises. Here we learn in this simple text that Jeremiah was known by the Lord even before he was formed in the womb, that his life was set in motion and even ordered down to his very days by the Creator of heaven and earth. If that doesn't make Jeremiah feel special and important, if that doesn't give him his identity and sense of purpose, then nothing else can possibly do that. But if you think that this text only applies to Jeremiah, then listen carefully to the words of the Psalms. "For you created my inmost being," he confesses. "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. My soul knows it full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." So God has formed you, and he has ordered your days, just as Jeremiah's. I hope that this leads you to the same sense of purpose that it led Jeremiah to. God has not formed you for no purpose, but that you would be his own, that you would call on his name, that you would serve him and love your neighbor, and that you would be with him forever in paradise. The theory of evolution that teaches that there is no God and you formed by an accident, and the Word of God that tells us of the Creator of heaven and earth, simply cannot stand side by side. They cannot both be true. Either you are a product of a godless evolution, or you were fearfully and wonderfully made by a loving God. So which will it be? Do you believe God's powerful, authoritative word that created everything, including you, or the evolutionary scientists and the lies of the devil that says you are an accident? Either God's word is true or it is not. And if God isn't telling the truth about this, about your creation and your purpose, even from the foundation of the world, about the value of human life and your life, then you really can't trust him about anything else either, can you? know from the gospel reading for today, which we won't look at very much, that Jesus values every human life, even to the point of rebuking a fever because it is troubling Simon's mother. He believes what Scripture says. He is the authoritative word that has brought this creation into existence. Jeremiah also believed the word that the Lord spoke to him. He had no doubt that God knew him before he formed him in the womb. He had no doubt that it is God's creation that brought him to the place where he was. But that's not to say that he wasn't nervous. He could feel the weight. He was afraid of the yoke, the stole that God had put around his neck when he identified him as a prophet of the Most High. He says to God, "I don't even know what to say." But then we learn something else from this text. A very powerful knowledge about what God does, not only at the beginning, but what he continues to do now. He tells Jeremiah that he is not absent from his creation, but that he is intimately involved even at this moment. He told Jeremiah that he's with him and that he would deliver him, that he should not be afraid of any that he would speak to, because God himself was going to give him the words to speak. "Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my word into your mouth. See, I have set you this day over the nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.'" Here Jeremiah is to be a preacher of the authoritative word of God, to write and divide law and gospel, to kill and to make alive with the Lord's holy word. It is no different than what you see Jesus doing as he preaches and drives out demons and heals the sick and gives life to the dead. And really, what else should we expect from the one who formed Jeremiah in the womb and called him according to his purpose? Do we really think that he is going to abandon him? Do you think that he abandons you? But it is easy to doubt, isn't it? Maybe easier at times to believe the lie that there is no purpose to this life. We're just here to have fun and be happy. Maybe it's easier to believe that no one created me and formed me for service and called me to believe and trust in him in spite of the devil and the world and the cross that we must bear. Maybe it's easier to think that it's just all over when this life is finally done, so we don't have to think about what is coming, about a day of judgment, about giving answer for every careless word. We might not all be called to be his spokesman. In fact, he tells us that we will not all be called to be this. Although it seems to me that some of you sitting here today actually are called to be this. Still, whether or not that is true, we can say from this text with Jeremiah and also from the Psalms with absolute certainty that each one of you was foreordained by God with purpose. Maybe he hasn't spelled out the purpose as clearly as you would like, but certainly he has created you for his purpose. He didn't choose you because he saw something good in you from the foundation of the earth. In fact, he knew your sins far better than that. No, he is the one who has made you good. He formed you and called you to faith by his gospel. And then with his own hand, he sanctified you for himself in order to serve your neighbor in love. With Jeremiah, you may doubt this. You may be afraid of what it means. You may try to get away from what he has ordained. But just like Jeremiah, that doesn't really change anything at all, does it? Disbelieving God doesn't change that God exists. Disbelieving that he formed you in the womb and that life is precious to him doesn't change that he formed you in the womb and that all life is precious to him. None of that changes what God has done and still is doing in your life. More than just calling you to be a child, a man, a woman, a husband, a wife, and to whatever other godly vocation he has called you, he equips you to do these things. He equips you with all the gifts that are necessary to fulfill your callings, and he has promised that he will never leave you or forsake you. You are not going it alone. The Lord knows just what you're up against, just as he did with Jeremiah, going up against all of the nations of the world that sought to destroy God's kingdom, Israel. He knows how you struggle, in your own flesh, with sin, and against the lies of the devil. He knows your name, and even your very thoughts. Now, to some, this is terrifying. It's a little like the elf on the shelf at Christmas for the kids, isn't it? He's going to watch for every bad thing that you do. Because if he knows my words and my thoughts, then he knows those evil thoughts and deeds as well, doesn't he? He does. But you also know that your Creator created you in love. You know that he loves you in spite of what he knows about your sins, and that he has given himself up in order to save you. Inevitably, this kind of discussion, though, will always lead to another little thought, to another discussion. These discussions about a creation and about a holy creator leads the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh to tempt you by saying, well, if God is really in control, and if he knows and orders all things, then why is there evil in this world? Why is there sickness and suffering and death? Why hasn't he done something about it? As you heard from the gospel reading, the demons know who Jesus is. They call him the Son of God and the Holy One of God. So you can be certain here, too, that the devil knows the answer to these questions that he wants you to ask. But he's trying to confuse you, trying to make you question your identity, your calling. He wants you to think selfishly. It is the very same thing he did to Eve and to Adam in the garden. He tries to make us doubt what God has said and done. The devil knows that there is evil in this world, precisely because our first parents doubted God and then disobeyed his one command. He knows that they trusted in something other than God's plan and purpose and calling for their life. And now the whole creation suffers under the weight of that sin. That's not God's fault, is it? It is our own. And the devil knows it. But if we'll blame God, then we'll join his friends. The devil knows also that the Lord is the only one who could do something about this problem of evil and suffering in the world. And he knows full well that he did do something about it, that he has taken it all upon his own shoulders, around his neck, and he paid the price for the sin of the world. He defeated the devil and death and the powers of hell, so that all who trust in him will be saved. You see why the devil doesn't want you to trust in him. Because apart from him, there is no salvation. Apart from him, the evil and the suffering of this world will turn into the evil and the suffering of an eternity in hell. The devil also knows very well that God formed you and called you and did everything necessary to save you. He knows that the Lord is patient and slow to return, meaning that you will continue to suffer and bear this cross, so that many more who are out there, still in the grasp of the devil, will hear the truth against the devil's lies, and that they also will be led to repentance and the fear of the Lord, and to trust in him and to be saved. That is, after all, why God sent Jeremiah and all the prophets. Why he took on flesh and blood and came and preached to the captives to set them free, while he still sends his authoritative word into our midst to forgive sins and to open heaven for us. These texts all teach us one very familiar thing. We don't know very much. very clearly. We can't always see what he's doing or how it is going to end up for our good. But it really is enough for us to know, just as Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the prophets knew, that God is the one who laid the foundations, that he created it all, that he continues to sustain it all, and that he even knew you before he formed you in the world, that he made you in his image, that he has ordained all your days, and that you are precious to him. St. Paul captures this struggle perfectly in the epistle reading when he says, "Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." Rejoice with me this day in the truth of a Creator who loves you, who fashioned you from the dirt, who formed you in your mother's womb. Reject the lies of the devil, the lie of evolution, the teaching that you have no identity or purpose bigger than your own pleasure. Because God really has formed you, and you are precious to him, and he has given you a purpose to serve your neighbor in love. He is the one who has put his word in your ears and on your lips. He opens your lips to declare his praise. He has washed you with his hand in the water of holy baptism, put his name and also his cross on you, even as he was writing your name into his book of life. He went to the cross and stretched out his arms and bled and died for you and for all humanity, not because you're worthless, but because you are everything to him. He has called you to faith and to a life of service for your neighbor, and he is ordering all of your days for your benefit and good, not only in this life, but for all eternity. Live then in this confidence and truth. Be satisfied with this knowledge that he knows you and has given you a purpose. And then go in his peace. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, be our light when worldly darkness veils us. Lord, be our shield when earthly armor fails us. And in the day when hell itself assails us, grant us your peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.